Hello and welcome to this IBR Extra, a podcast from the Iowa Business Report. I'm Jeff Stein. In the 60th edition of our program, which aired during the third weekend of February 2021, we introduced you to the Iowa Waste Reduction Center. It's a nationally recognized organization based at the University of Northern Iowa, devoted to environmental consulting, assistance, training, and education for entities with environmental impact or need. It all started as a three-person nonprofit with an office in a trailer, but it's now grown to include a staff of a dozen employees and a diverse area of specialties. Joe Bolick is director of the IWRC.
We were set up over 30 years ago to provide environmental assistance to Iowa small businesses and organizations across the state. We do that through a variety of means, including on-site energy efficiency and waste reduction or environmental compliance audits. Recently, we've done a lot of work with businesses and organizations around the state to fight food waste. And then we also have a very successful and nationally known painter training program. In recent years, we've also branched into and developed the Iowa Green Brewery Certification, which is a program that works with a lot of the craft breweries on the state to minimize their environmental impact. Ultimately, we're here to help businesses across the state reduce the amount of waste they generate and operate more efficiently.
And not to be flip about it, but businesses know how to run their business. And so they may not want to take the time, invest the resources to do the things that make them even better corporate citizens. That's where you folks come in, because they can simply say, help us learn what we need to do.
Absolutely. That's kind of the reason we were set up in the first place. We were founded by the 1987 Groundwater Protection Act to help small businesses across the state. You know, when you get into some of the larger manufacturers and businesses, you know, they have an environmental person on staff. But, you know, these small shops, especially across rural Iowa, don't. We get to be that person for them. And that's, it's an honor to be there. But it's something we take very seriously, because whether it's environmental compliance, these businesses could potentially be hampered with fines or some different regulatory actions just for not knowing. You know, I don't know if you've ever taken a look at the code of federal and state regulations that are out there, but they're not always the easiest thing to decipher, especially for somebody that doesn't really know that arena. They may know how to run their business extremely well, but man, trying to figure out some of that stuff can be a nightmare. And that's where we can come into play.
Now, how has that work changed over time? Because again, I know as a lawyer, the rows of volumes of CFR that you just referenced, and even though they may be digitized these days as opposed to when I was in law school or a young lawyer, it's still very complicated. But from a practical standpoint, how has your mission and your work changed over this three decades?
Environmental regulations, they do come in. Sometimes they go, depending on administrations and key areas of interest for both the federal and state level. You know, and so we try to keep our focus remained on what is relevant and what is the most beneficial to Iowa businesses. That's, you know, a prime instance of that are a couple of the niches that we have carved. You know, our painter training program, yes, we do have some fairly successful programming within that arena where we have satellite sites running across the country. But that basically started out as a research project here, where there were two local body shops that were very similar in throughput and what they were doing, but one was generating twice as much hazardous waste as the other. You know, we took a look at why, and it was because one had a very efficient painter and one had somebody that was horribly inefficient. And so that can be resolved through training. So we were able to take a look at that, do some work, develop some proper training protocols. Lucky enough to get, you know, a few contracts to work with the military years ago. And we've been able to now have a successful certification program where we certified well over 3,000 military and contract painters across the United States with the curriculum that we've developed to help them become more efficient painters.
To some degree, and again, I don't mean to diminish it, but for so many of these folks, when you know better, you do better. And it's not any sort of sinister or deliberate act. It's simply, it's not their expertise. They don't necessarily know how to do it. And this allows you to help them stay in compliance, which everyone wants, but also fulfill the broader, better community citizen role.
Oh, no question. And ultimately, a lot of times, if you really think about it, you know, all businesses, they bring in raw materials and they churn out a product or a service out of those. Anything that is a material that you bring in that doesn't go out as part of your product is waste. And that's inefficiencies. So ultimately, if you are reducing the amount of waste you generate and becoming the most efficient operation possible, it has to benefit your bottom line, right? Because you're either generating more out the end, or you're bringing in less at the beginning, or maybe what was a waste, you know, waste doesn't necessarily just mean it's gone. You're responsible to get rid of it. And a lot of times it costs a lot of money to get rid of waste. You know, sometimes these waste streams, if you have a singular waste stream that you generate over and over and over again, instead of paying to get rid of it, there may be somebody out there that wants to pay you to take it because it could be, you know, an input for them.
And this is one of the things that, again, disparate elements, disparate businesses may not be able to make those connections on their own because that's not their mindset, or they just aren't aware. But you can be the clearinghouse of information to say, for example, a manufacturer in Dubuque may have end product that becomes waste, but someone in Sioux City would find that to be an input. And you're able to make those connections because of the unique positions that you folks hold in your office.
To an extent, yes. There's other programs across the state that do provide those services, sure. Such as the Iowa Waste Exchange, which we have a great partnership with. But there's a prime example. So if we're working with a business in some way, shape, or form, we see that they are generating a lot of a certain kind of waste. We can put them in touch with their local Iowa Waste Exchange representative, since we do have a great working relationship with them. And we also, you know, through our 30-plus years of service, we know a lot of other service providers out there. You know, we're not the only ones. We have our niche, but then we can also bring these other service providers to the table and be able to help, you know, our business and organizational clients, you know, with that as well through referrals.
I think this is an outmoded way of thinking, but I'll raise it anyway. There may have been a thought in the past, and you'll tell me whether it's still active in the present, of saying, you know, don't bother me with this sort of waste reduction stuff because I'm running my business here. This is just some sort of a political agenda, et cetera, et cetera. Do you find that people are much more willing to accept the concept of not only being efficient from the business standpoint, as you mentioned, but also working in a way that does not create a detrimental effect on the environment?
I think as long as you can demonstrate that it's not going to cost you more or potentially hurt your business, there's really no argument that holds water to say why you shouldn't. We don't hear very many arguments. Is, you know, the argument comes, like you said, I'm trying to run my business. This isn't my concern. If we're able to help you through that running your business and help you do it in a more efficient manner, that has a positive impact on your business. And the other thing that we can provide is in this day and age, especially, and this is like a program like our Iowa Green Brewery certification, consumers care. I think consumers care now more than ever. And, you know, and we've seen that through that program. We work with these breweries around the state and we get them certified, and there's a social media buzz about it. There's, you know, there's people that come into the doors and say, hey, you know, I see you guys are a certified brewery. I saw it in the paper. That's awesome. I want to have a beer there. There is an advantage, another business advantage, not just the bottom line, but also just public relations and who you are and being a good community steward. I think that's very important in running a business and how you fit within your community as a whole.
And that was my sense, not only from the consumer side, which is very important, but my sense is that younger people, and I'll say by that even under the age of 40, they are much more concerned about a workplace that is socially conscious as opposed to ignorant or being an obstructionist to these things. And so my sense was that the movement is progressing very positively in this way. And what you suggested are a couple of great examples that say that might be the case.
I do think so, you know, but again, it has to be within the context that it's not going to be detrimental to the business.
Sure.
Even if you're young and you want to work at a socially responsible place, that's very noble. And I want to do the same thing. But if you can't be sustainable in how your business functions, then the sustainability, environmentally sustainable efforts you put in are moot. You know, you still have to be able to succeed as a business. And the more you grow, the bigger impact you can have on the measures you put in place.
And obviously, the bigger impact you can have in a negative way
if you're not doing things efficiently. All right, if someone is interested in this concept, this topic, what are the best ways for them to get some basic information and then the contact information so they can talk with your team?
Oh, absolutely. They can come to our website. It's iwrc.uni.edu. You know, they can find us on all various social media outlets, from Facebook to Twitter to LinkedIn. They can also just reach out directly via email to the iwrc@uni.edu.
Joe Bolick, director of the Iowa Waste Reduction Center, located at the University of Northern Iowa. Again, they're online at iwrc.uni.edu. If you go there, among other resources, you'll find a white paper recently prepared on food waste in K-12 schools. Well worth your time. We connected via Zoom on February 9th. The Iowa Business Report, radio program and podcast, is presented by Advance Iowa, the state of Iowa's comprehensive consulting program designed to work with mid-sized companies to enhance their growth. Online at advanceiowa.com. The Iowa Business Report airs weekly on dozens of radio stations across the state of Iowa, with the podcast posted right here every week, along with additional IBR extras and IBR business profiles. I'm Jeff Stein for the Iowa Business Report.